Chapter 3. The Suevi in the Middle Ages. On the original and permanent settlement of the Suevi in the Roman Empire, they occupied the greater portion of southern and western Spain, and their capital was Astorga. In the period between the departure of the Vandals into Africa, AD 429, and the coming of the Visigoths into Spain, AD 456, the Suevi were the only barbarian power left in the peninsula. Though in the great battle with Theodoric the Visigoth in 456, they were signally defeated and their power was much weakened, yet the distinct Suevi kingdom continued until 587 when, by the power of Leovigild the Visigoth, it became entirely subject and tributary to the Visigothic kingdom. During the time of the occupation of the peninsula by the Mohammedan power, 711, the Suevi, until about 1250, shared the fate of the Visigoths. As little by little the brave descendants of the unconquerable Pelayo pushed back the bounds of the Mohammedan dominion, the Suevi, inhabiting the territory of what is now Portugal and Galicia, was really the first to be freed. Indeed, Alfonso I, grandson of Pelayo, not only drove the Mohammedans out of Galicia, but was able to advance with his victorious troops as far as to the river Douro. Alfonso III, 866 to 910, made expeditions as far south as to Coimbra and Lisbon, though his permanent southern boundary was still the river Douro. Ferdinand the Great, King of Leon, Castile, and Galicia, 1055 to 1064, and his son, in 1065, carried the boundary southward till it included the present Portuguese province of Beira. Alfonso VI, 1072 to 1109, compelled the cession of Lisbon and Santarém, which was practically all that part of the province of Estremadura, which lies west and north of the river Tagus. In 1086, the danger that the Mohammedans would regain these territories was so great that Alfonso VI summoned the chivalry of Christendom to his aid. Among the knights who came to his assistance were Counts Raymond and Henry of Burgundy, and in 1094 he combined the fiefs of Coimbra and Oporto into one great country, called Terra Portucalensis, or the County of Porto Cale, and with the hand of his daughter Teresa, conferred it upon Henry of Burgundy, who thus became Count of Portucalensis, Porto Cale, Portugal. And that the Suevi, who at the first inhabited southern and western Spain and Galicia, were the root of this Portugal, is clear from the fact that ethnologically the Galicians are allied to the Portuguese, whom they resemble in dialect, in appearance, and in habits more than any other inhabitants of the peninsula. The history of Portugal as a kingdom, therefore, really begins with this gift by Alfonso VI, descended from Alfonso I, grandson of Pelayo the Visigoth, to Henry of Burgundy in AD 1094. It must be remembered, however, that at that time Portugal was only a county, held in fief by Henry of Burgundy as vassal of Alfonso VI, King of Leon, Castile, and Galicia, who by reason of his great success assumed the title of Emperor of Spain. This grand title, however, vanished with him, and he was no sooner dead than Count Henry, his beneficiary, invaded the kingdom in a contest with four other claimants to make himself king. He carried on this contest for 5 years, but failed, and died suddenly at Astorga in 1112, leaving his wife Teresa to rule the county of Portugal during the minority of his infant son, Alfonso Henriques. Alfonso Henriques, who at the age of 17 assumed the government, was one of the heroes of the Middle Ages. He succeeded to the rule of the county of Portugal when it was still regarded as a fief of Galicia. And after nearly 60 years of incessant fighting, he bequeathed to his son a powerful little kingdom whose independence was unquestioned and whose fame was spread abroad throughout Christendom by the reports of the victories of its first king over the Mohammedans. The four wars of independence which Alfonso Henriquez waged against Alfonso VII lasted more than 12 years and were fought out on the Galician frontier with varying success, until the question of Portuguese independence was peaceably established and confirmed by the valor of the Portuguese knights, who overcame those of Castile in the famous tournament of Valdevez, and Alfonso Henriquez assumed the title of King of Portugal. It was not till the reign of Alfonso III, 1248 to 1279, that the Mohammedans were finally expelled, and Portugal attained its ultimate European limits by the Portuguese conquest of all the territory west of the river Guadalquivir and southward to the sea. Thus Portugal effected the expulsion of the Mohammedans from her dominions, 250 years before Spain completely recovered hers. After this had been accomplished, there was a long period of comparative peace, in which the kingdom and the people greatly prospered. About 1400, there was begun by the Portuguese an era of exploration and discovery that is one of the greatest in the history of the world, that at that time led the world, and that brought to the King of Portugal an income greater than that of any prince in Europe, so that he had no need of taxes. This splendid era of discovery was begun by Prince Henry, son of King João or John, who by his energy and success acquired the title the Navigator. Until his day, the pathways of the human race had been the mountain, the river and the plain, the strait, the lake, and the inland sea. It was he who conceived the thought of opening a road through the unexplored ocean, a road replete with danger, but abundant in promise. Born on March 4, 1394, Prince Henry was a younger son of King João of Portugal and of Philippa of Lancaster, the grandchild of Edward III, so that he was half an Englishman. Prince Henry relinquished the pleasures of the court and took up his abode on the inhospitable promontory of Sagres at the extreme southwestern angle of Europe. His great aim was to find the sea path to the then only known Indies. He did not accomplish it, but he did a great thing in destroying the terror of the great ocean, and so opening the door of courage to those who should come after. His ships and men reached the islands of Madeira and Porto Santo in 1418 and 1420, which were granted to him by the king, his brother, in 1433. They doubled the Cape of Bojador in 1433. In 1435, they went 150 miles beyond Cape Bojador. In 1443, they went 25 miles beyond Cape Blanco. In 1445, they reached the mouth of the River Senegal. In 1455, he passed Cape Verde and went as far as to the mouth of the River Gambia. Prince Henry, the navigator, died November 13, 1460. The enterprise which Prince Henry, the navigator, had so well begun was continued after his death. In 1462, Cape Verde Islands were discovered and colonized. In the same year, an expedition under Pedro de Sintra reached a point on the Sierra Leone coast, 600 miles beyond the Gambia. In 1469, another expedition under Fernan Gomez reached the Gold Coast. In 1484, Diego Cam reached the mouth of the Congo. In 1486, Bartholomew Dias succeeded in rounding the extreme southern point of Africa as far as to Algoa Bay. The cape he named Cabo Tormentosa, Cape Torment, but the King of Portugal, João II, cheered with the prospect that the way was now surely open to India, named it Cape of Good Hope. This continued series of successes had drawn to Lisbon, the Portuguese capital, adventurous strangers from all parts of the world, and among these there came from Genoa in Italy in 1470, Christopher Columbus. He entered the service of the King of Portugal, where he remained till 1484, making several voyages to the coast of Guinea. As early as 1474, he had determined in his mind that the world is round, that therefore India should be reached by sailing westward, and that he would sail in that direction to find it. His project he made known to King João II, who referred him to his Committee of Council for Geographical Affairs. The committee rendered a decidedly adverse report, but the Bishop of Teutse, seeing that the king was inclined to favor Columbus's view, suggested to him that he reap the advantage of it by sending an expedition unknown to Columbus. The king adopted the suggestion, sent out his expedition, which from fear soon returned. Columbus, discovering the trick that had been attempted, in just indignation, quitted Lisbon in 1484, and so the glory and the wonders of the discovery of the western continent, the New World, was lost to Portugal. The Portuguese, however, having passed the most southern point of Africa, followed up the attempt to reach India by sailing eastward. In July 1497, Vasco da Gama sailed from Lisbon. November 22, he rounded the Cape of Good Hope. Christmas Day, as he was sailing along, land was sighted, which in honor of the day he named Natal. April 7, 1498, he reached Mombas on the east coast of Africa, near the equator, and May 20, 1498, the India problem was solved by his sighting the Malabar coast of western India and anchoring his ships before Calicut. March 9, 1500, another expedition left Lisbon under the command of Pedro Alvarez Cabral, and April 22 discovered the southeast coast of Brazil, taking possession in the name of the King of Portugal. Cabral then sailed for India, arriving at Calicut in September, and continued his voyage southward as far as to Cananore, and finally to Cochin. In 1501, João da Nova discovered the island of Ascension, and Amerigo Vespucci discovered the Rio Plata and Paraguay. Ceylon was discovered in 1505. In 1506, Albuquerque explored the coasts of Arabia and Persia, made the King of Ormus tributary to the King of Portugal, and sent embassies to Abyssinia. In 1510, he conquered Goa in the Indian coast, a little north of Calicut. In 1512, the Moluccas, or Spice Islands, off the east coast of China were discovered, and in 1517, the grand era of Portuguese discovery was fitly rounded out by the Fernão Pires de Andrade's discovery of China and entering into commercial relations with the governor of Canton. These discoveries led large numbers of the Portuguese to emigrate in search of fortune, and the great wealth poured into the kingdom by the trade of the new lands induced luxury and consequent enervation of those who remained at home, while there was also no emigration and the soil was worked by slaves. These things of themselves weakened the kingdom, but as though to make its decline certain, in 1536, King João III established the Inquisition, which quickly destroyed all that was left of the old Portuguese spirit. Because of these things at home and the tyranny and corruption of the governors in the colonies, everything went from bad to worse. In 1578, the direct royal succession expired with King Sebastian. The kingdom fell for 2 years to the late king's uncle, who was old and died the last day of January, 1580. And in the confusion and intrigues of the several aspirants to the throne that followed, Philip II, King of Spain, was successful in seizing the kingdom and making himself also King of Portugal. In 1640, the Portuguese revolted and were successful in casting off the yoke of Spain, in expelling the Spaniards from Portugal, and in reestablishing a kingdom of their own by crowning a king of their own choice, the Duke of Braganza, as King João IV. During the 60 years' captivity to Spain, however, the trade of her wine possessions and a considerable portion of those possessions themselves had been absorbed by other nations. From this, Portugal never recovered, and has since had very little power or influence outside her proper European limits.